It's a new year, and a new year means that it's a good time just to take stock a bit, and to look at what we actually believe as Christians. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at the Bible, because as Christians, the Bible is the basis of all that we believe. And we're going to look at what the Bible is and why it is the basis for our faith. And as we do that, there's four things about the Bible I want us to see over the coming weeks. I want us to see that it's necessary, that it's supreme, that it's sufficient, and that it's clear. And this morning I want us to look at the Bible and how it is necessary. And maybe you've asked the question at some point, why do we read from the Bible? Why do I spend half an hour preaching from the Bible and explaining the Bible? It's a bit weird. It's a bit weird because some of the Bible was written 3,500 years ago. The last bit of the Bible was written 1,900 years ago. And most of us probably, week by week, don't look at other books and other things that were written that long ago. In fact, probably none of your friends do. In fact, it is just a bit out of sorts. You know, why do we meet on a Sunday and look at the Bible? Why don't we just sing some songs or watch the telly on our nice screens or like have Sunday lunch together? Why is the Bible necessary? Well, the Bible's necessary. We meet to read the Bible, to look at the Bible. It's necessary because without the Bible, we would not know God, we would not know Jesus Christ, and we would not be saved. Imagine for a moment you're on a desert island. I'll bring you back to Manchester in a minute. But imagine you're on a desert island, and you have everything that you could possibly want on the desert island, but you do not have a Bible. And you have no access to the Bible or any biblical information. If you were in that situation, then not only would salvation be impossible, but knowing Jesus Christ would be impossible, and in fact, knowing God would be impossible. That's how necessary it is. That's why, back here in Manchester this morning, we're looking at the Bible. Let me put it positively. The Bible's necessary because it's the revelation of God about his Son for our salvation. It's the revelation of God about his Son for our salvation. We're going to look at those three things one at a time. First of all, the Bible is the revelation of God. That's what our passage said. In verse 10, Paul says, these things, he's talking about the message of the gospel, these things God has revealed to us, the us are the apostles, through the Spirit. Paul says God has revealed his message to the apostles, to Jesus' first 12 disciples. He's revealed the message of the gospel to them by the Spirit. You see, the message of the gospel is not something the apostles just made up themselves. It wasn't produced through religious guesswork. They didn't say, oh, let's put these nice ideas together and put them in a book. Or, you know, we've heard about this guy called Jesus and there's these stories going on around about him, and let's pick up those stories, these legends, and let's form them into some sort of book which can kind of give some nice ethical teaching to us. He says, no, God has revealed the message to them. Why is that such a big deal? It's such a big deal because Paul says this: "For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him?" Paul says this is a really big deal because the only person who knows their thoughts is that person themselves. Or put it this way, in order to know someone, they need to reveal themselves to you. Communication is necessary for relationships. You know, we know that. You know, we know that if you want to get to know someone, you've got to talk to them. And you've got to listen to what they say to you. You know, if you meet somebody in McDonald's to get to know them better, you order your food, and then you just sit down, and you don't say a word. Just imagine doing that. You just sit there, and then you leave. And somebody says, "Oh, I see you're hanging out together, you two. You're getting to know each other. What do you know about them?" "They like Big Macs." Communication is necessary for a relationship. You need to communicate in order for other people to know what you like and what you don't like. You know, Amazon have got that. You know, they understand that, don't they? That's why you get these Amazon wish lists online, so that you can say to your mum, "Mum, I really like the knitted scarf you gave me at Christmas last year, but this year I've got an Amazon wish list. You know, if you want to know what I like, go on there." You see, the only way you can know someone is if they reveal themselves to you. And so the only way that we can know God is if God reveals himself to us. You see, the only way that you can know God is if God communicates to you. Is if God opens himself up to you. If God speaks to you. Because if God speaks to you, then you can know him. If there's silence, there's no knowledge of God. And Paul says this. He says the message which the apostles received was revealed to them by God. The message which they pass on to other people was revealed by God. That means that it's possible to know God because God has revealed himself. It's possible to have a relationship with God because God has made himself known. He's opened himself up. Now, I can imagine an objection at this point, and there's an objection which says this: aren't there other ways that God reveals himself? You know, doesn't God reveal himself in different ways than just the Bible? What about creation? What about nature? Doesn't God reveal himself in creation? You know, when you go out into creation and you see its beauty and you see its greatness and you see all the different things, doesn't that show you something about God? Well, yes, it does. Creation reveals that there is a God. There must be a God. If we've got creation, there must be a creator who's made everything. It tells us that this God is eternal because everything that has been created must have been made by someone who is not created. That's just logical. Everything must have a beginning, and the beginning of all things must be God. He must be eternal. He must be powerful. There must be a God of great power to have made the oceans, to have made the trees, to have made you and me. And not only must he be powerful, he must be wise, because everything's got its place. To be able to put the sort of cells together that need to be put together to create the human eye, that is wisdom. He must be a God of great beauty. Sometimes you see the sunset, Stone Ashton Old Road, and the orange and the red and the yellow and the pink, and it's beautiful. How much more beautiful must the Creator be? The creation does reveal God, but there's two problems with seeing God in creation. There's an internal problem and an external one. The first problem, the internal problem, is this. Our sin in our lives prevents us from seeing God clearly when we look at creation. Our sin in our lives is like having bad eyesight. You know, when you've got bad eyesight, things are just a bit blurred. You can't see clearly. That's what it's like when we try and see God in what he's made. Our sin inside us means we can't see him clearly. But the second thing is external. Even if we could see God clearly, even if we didn't have sin in our lives, our vision of God would still be blurred when we looked at creation. Because we would only ever see God as a creator and not as a savior. And so creation reveals God, but we can't see him clearly because of our sin. And even if we could see him clearly, we wouldn't see that he's a savior. We wouldn't see his love for us in Jesus Christ. And so the Bible is necessary. It's necessary because God reveals himself in the Bible so that we can see him clearly. The Bible, as it were, is like putting on a pair of glasses when you've got blurred vision or bad eyesight. It corrects your eyesight so that you can see clearly. The Bible helps us see God clearly. And so if you want to know God, open up the Bible. Read the Bible this year. You know, if you've got bad eyesight, what do? You go to the opticians. You go to the opticians and they give you the glasses that help you see. If you're not seeing God clearly, which none of us do, we need to open up the Bible and read it so that you can see God. You can see what he's like. You can see how he's revealing himself to you. So the question is this: how does it correct our vision? How does the Bible then correct our vision of God? Well, it corrects our vision because of what the Bible's about. In verses 12 and 13, Paul says two things. First of all, he says that the apostles have been given the Spirit so that they might know the things of God. And so they might write down and pass on the things of God, verse 13, in words. The apostles have been given the Spirit so that they might know the things of God and so that they might pass them down and write them down in the Bible. And so the question then is, what are, verse 12, the things freely given us by God? What is the message which the apostles received? Well, it's the same thing that I mentioned a moment ago in verse 10. These things, he says in verse 10. And what are the these things in verse 10? Well, it's verse 9. Let me read verse 9 to you. As it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. See, what is the message of the gospel? What is this thing which nobody could make up, which nobody could imagine in their hearts, and which God has prepared and planned for us? Well, it's the message of Jesus Christ. You see, the second reason the Bible is necessary is because not only is it the revelation of God, but it's the revelation of God about his Son. The message of the Bible, the message of the gospel, is the message about Jesus Christ. It's the message of how God has come into our broken world and provided us with a Saviour. A Saviour who was not just man, but God and man, who was born in poverty, in a stable in Bethlehem, a backwater part of Israel. And he was born not just to the Jews and to bring salvation to the Jews, but he was born to bring salvation to the world. And he didn't just come to liberate people from oppression and injustice. He came to liberate people from sin, from the stuff inside us which really brings us down. From our guilt that we feel for doing the things we shouldn't. He liberates us from that. He liberates us from death. And he liberates us from death because when he came and died. He came and died on a cross. He died on a cross not because he'd done anything wrong, but because we had. He came and died on a cross for our sins. He died there to receive the punishment for our sins on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. So that our sins could be wiped clean. And not only did he die, but he rose again from the dead. He rose again from the dead, never to die again. And he ascended into heaven so that we too, as we trust in him, might be raised from the dead. So that we might have a new resurrected life. And that we might be with him in the new heaven and the new earth forever and forever. That's the message of the gospel. And that's the message which God had planned, which is revealed clearly in the New Testament, but it's there in the Old Testament as well. You see, what's the Old Testament about? It's all about Jesus. It's all about the need for a Savior. A Savior who is going to be a prophet and reveal God to us. A Savior who is going to be a king and free us from oppression, the oppression of our sins. And he was going to be a priest who was going to make a way to God for us by dying as a sacrifice in our place. See, that's the message of the whole Bible. And the wonderful thing, therefore, about the Bible is that you and I can know about Jesus Christ. For sure, for certainty, because the apostles were given that message and they wrote it down in words so we can actually know God, so we can know Jesus Christ 2,000 years later. You see, many of us have at times doubts about Christianity. We can have questions about our faith. You know, how can I be sure that this is right? How can I be certain that Christianity is right? How can I be sure that I'm going to heaven? How can I be sure that God loves me? We teach the children, don't we? The wonderful song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. See, without the Bible, we wouldn't know that. Without the Bible, we wouldn't know Jesus Christ. Without the Bible, we wouldn't know that he loves us. You see, the Bible is necessary because it's the revelation of God. We could only know God if he revealed himself. It's the revelation of God about his son. We could only know his son if the apostles wrote down the message which they had from him in the scriptures. But it's the revelation of God about his son for our salvation. See, the purpose of the Bible is not just to reveal God to us, but to do something in us. The purpose of the Bible is not just that we know it's the revelation about God, but the purpose of the Bible is so that you can know Jesus Christ and you can get Jesus Christ into your life and your life can be changed as a result. You see, sometimes we think about the Bible as a religious book. I suppose it is in some ways. But the problem with thinking about the Bible in religious terms is that you can start thinking of it as some sort of ethical manual or law manual or rule manual of rules which you've got to keep in order to be right with God. And if I do these things, then everything's going to be good. Whereas actually it's a message, it's news about a son, the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, who we can know personally because it's not by what we do that we're right with God, but simply by his grace. It's not by keeping the rules and the laws that we're right with him. We're saved simply by what he has done on the cross. And so the question is, how do you get that salvation into your life? Well, we're told that the answer to that in verses 14 and 16. This is remarkable. Let me read these verses to us. The natural person, we're told, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. How do you get this salvation into your life? Well, the first answer is, naturally speaking, you can't. That's why in verses 6 to 8, Paul says that the rulers of his day crucified Jesus Christ because naturally speaking, they didn't get what was going on. They couldn't grasp the gospel, and so they crucified the Lord of glory. You see, by natural wisdom and reasoning and arguments, it's not possible to get Jesus into your life. Now, I think arguments are great and reasoning is great for the Christian faith, but that's not enough. I remember before I was a Christian. I went to church and I was even helping out in Sunday school. And I remember I had to teach a lesson in Sunday school and it was on the parables. And I remember opening up and reading this parable and I thought, I have not got a clue what is going on here. So I asked my superintendent at the Sunday school, and he didn't have much more of a clue either. And so we muddled our way through and got the children to colour some pictures. Now, it wasn't because I was a teenager or because I was younger. It's because I was not born again. I was trying to work things out myself. There's a famous story about William Wilberforce and his friend William Pitt, who was Prime Minister of England at the end of the 18th century. And William Wilberforce was really keen to see William Pitt converted. And so he managed to talk him into going along to this church where a guy called Richard Cecil was preaching. And he was a well-known preacher in London in those days. And William Wilberforce came out alongside William Pitt and he was jumping for joy inside because he was saying to himself, that was a stormer. Richard Cecil preached fantastically. It was so clear. It was so obvious. It was so passionate. There's no doubt that William Pitt's going to become a Christian. As we were walking out, William Pitt turned to William Wilberforce. And he said to him, Wilberforce, do you know something? I haven't a clue what that guy was saying this morning. Prime Minister of England. But working things out naturally. Couldn't understand the message of the gospel. See, that's what Paul says here. It says it takes spiritual discernment to understand the message. Verse 15, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, to be spiritual, to have the mind of Christ doesn't mean that you're somebody who likes to be by yourself, be reflective, be contemplative. To be spiritual means that you understand the message of the gospel. A message which you can only understand if it's revealed to you by God's Spirit. It's when God, by his Spirit, shines his light into the darkness of your heart that you suddenly understand the message about Jesus Christ. See, the God who reveals himself in the Bible, the God who's inspired the Bible to be written about his son Jesus, is the same God who needs to shine his spirit into our hearts if we're to understand what he's written. If we're to understand who Jesus is and be in relationship with him. And so if here and now you do understand, it's because God has shone his light into your heart. And if you're here this morning and you don't understand, it's because God hasn't done that yet. And so the question is, how can you understand? How can you understand this message of the gospel if we don't understand naturally? Well, the first thing you need to do is you need to ask. You need to ask God. You need to say, God, teach me. Open up my eyes to your truth and free me from lies. Help me to understand what's going on. The second thing you need to do is to hang around with spiritual people. You may not like them. You may disagree with them on so many different things. Doesn't matter. Ask them questions. If you know somebody who does get it, hang around with them until you get it. You know, one of the ways that people become Christians is by hanging around with Christians, by forming friendships with Christians. Ask God to reveal himself. Hang around with people who know, and then come to church. Come and listen to the Bible. Come and see how the Bible works itself out in our services, in our family life, so that, and do that until you get it, until it starts affecting you. Well, if you're here as a Christian and you do get it, and God has shone his light into your hearts, then the way you grow as a Christian is exactly the same way. You ask God to help you understand it more. Because none of us understand it enough. I said last week that we're praying this year as a church that we'd know more of the love of Christ. None of us know enough of it. So ask God to reveal more of his love to you. Ask God to reveal Jesus Christ to you more clearly so you can see what he's done more clearly for you on the cross. And hang around with Christians. Hang around with Christians so you can be encouraged in your faith. So you can know God better as you hear about what God is doing in their life. As you share what God is doing in yours. Get involved in a community group this year. Come along to the evening service this year. Hang around with Christians so you can know God better. And then engage in worship. And when you come to church, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper in a moment, do so praying. Pray to yourself as you sing. Pray to yourself as you listen to the Bible. Pray to as you're taking the Lord's Supper. Pray to God. Pray and say, reveal more of yourself to me. As I worship, reveal more of your love to me. As I'm in church, change me. Help me to know you better. Because you are the God who reveals yourself. You revealed yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you've done so, so that I might be saved. Would you do more of that in my life today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who wants to be in relationship with us and wants us to know you. You're not a God who hides yourself, but a God who speaks and reveals yourself. We thank you for the Bible, how you've revealed yourself to us in the words of these pages so we can hear you speak as we open them and read them. Thank you that you've revealed yourself and what you've done for us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for what he has done on that cross to make a way back to you. And we thank you that you don't want to leave us in our ignorance, but you want us to be saved. Not just to know about you, but actually to know you personally. Lord, give us your spirit that we might know you. Shine your light, the light of your Spirit, into the darkness of our hearts, that we might see you clearly, that we might love you dearly, and that we might follow you all the days of our life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.